Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life. Amen. To our officers, amen. Mothers, to everyone in their respective places. Amen. I thank God for this opportunity, another chance to stand before you and tell of his goodness.
All right.
Amen. Tell of what God has done for me, amen. And what I know he would do for you.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. So I thank God for this day and this opportunity.
Oh, yes.
Amen. We may not never get another opportunity, but we take advantage of the one that we have right now.
Amen.
Amen. Stand with me for our scripture reading. Can everyone hear me? Is the mic, the sound, is it good? Turn to Psalms 150. Psalms 150. And then put your finger over on Luke chapter 19. And I'm going to say this. As a pastor, I wouldn't mind if you looked in the front of the book to try to see where it is. That won't bother me. I just need you to get there.
Right.
Amen. Amen. I know some pastors, they look and see people cheating. Just get there, okay? Because there's a word that needs to go forth. So I don't care if you look in the front to see what page is on in your Bible. I just need you to get there.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. This ain't one of those sophisticated, you know, type of churches where people judge you by all sorts of stuff. That ain't how we do that here. Amen. We preach the word of God, and we let the word of God get inside of you. And once the word of God gets inside of you, it'll start to do the work that needs to be done. Amen. If you're at Psalms 150, say amen. 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 Just to read six verses, the entire Psalms. And I'm reading from the King James Version. Praise ye the Lord. Praise God in his sanctuary. Praise him in the firmament of his power. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise him with the psaltery and harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with string instruments and organs. Praise him upon the loud cymbals. Praise him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. Amen. Amen. If you have breath, you need to be praising the Lord. Amen. They said everything that has breath, praise the Lord. Amen. I can hear birds chirping outside of my window. Amen. Early in the morning, out there praising the Lord. Luke chapter 19, verse 37. When you have it, can you acknowledge by saying amen? Amen? Amen. And when he was come nigh, even now at the descent of the Mount of Olives, the whole multitude of disciples began to rejoice and praise God with a loud voice for all the mighty works that they had seen, saying, blessed be the King that cometh in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thy disciples. And he said, and Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. Amen for the reading of God's word. Amen. Just by those scriptures, you know where I'm going this morning. Amen. You know what I'm getting ready to teach you this morning. Amen. So my subject is still the same. I'm still on praise and worship. Amen. Because that's what we need to do to the Lord. We need to praise and worship him. People delight in praising whatever they enjoy. If you love sports, you are thrilled to express your admiration of your team. If you're a music lover, you praise the performance of your favorite singer. In other words, praise expresses the joy in our heart and affirms what is important to us. We praise what we enjoy because the praise merely expresses and completes the enjoyment that we are watching. The enjoyment is incomplete till it is expressed. In other words, you can enjoy something, but it's not complete until you have given an expression of what you enjoyed. So in other words, what I'm saying is that what is important to you at that moment, you will give an expression of your joy. One of the key characteristics of the people of God is praise. Those who have experienced God's grace in their life, who understand the importance of their salvation, who delight in seeing and sharing God's work in the world, possesses a burning desire to praise the Lord. Amen. Music is not the only worship of service. Worship is a broad term. The funny thing about trying to define worship is that if you ask 10 different people, you would get 10 different answers. And to some degree, each would be right as they would give a portion of the meaning of worship. Anything you do that brings pleasure to God is an act of worship. Let your life express worship. True worship will help you in keeping you out of the picture. Abraham rose up early in the morning. Abraham's act of worship was very intense, yet very focused, selfless, and sacrificial. Is worship singing is worship singing in the church? Yes. Is worship dancing in the church? Yes. Is worship lifting your hands in the church? Yes. It is more than that, though. Worship is not accidental, but it is done on purpose from holy hearts. Our worship should be a lifestyle. Our worship does not just happen, it is built. It is a process which gets deeper and deeper as we grow in our relationship with the Lord. What is true worship? It may be hard to define, but it is these characteristics. It is sacrificial. It will line up your priorities. It will keep you from mistaking your ministry for your relationship with God. It will keep you out of the picture. It will become a lifestyle and not an activity. It won't be an activity. It will be a lifestyle. Just because you know the order of service doesn't mean you worship. We can know the songs by heart, but that doesn't mean we worship. We can know what to say and do, but that doesn't mean we worship. Some of what we do in worship is from creativity. As I said before to the musician and to the praise leaders, I always tell them, sometimes you just got to let it happen. I mean, you have this order of service just to keep you on track, but sometimes it may not go in that order. In other words, if the Lord shows up, will he accept your order? No, we will have church as it is. Sometimes you see folks when they go to church, they're looking, is there a program? I need to see a program. When you come to service, you don't need to see a program. You don't need to see the order of service. Service is already in order. There's never a time where service is out of order. Service is already in order. When your mind is on the Lord, service is in order. When your mind is stayed on Him, service is in order. Service is always in order. You don't need the musician to arrive for service to start. You don't need the praise leader to get up and say, okay, we're getting ready to open up. Service is always in order. Some of what we do in worship is from creativity. Sometimes we say, I enjoy the worship portion of the service, meaning we enjoy the singing. Singing is part of worship, but it's not all of worship. Our life should entail worship. We should have private worship with the Lord. In other words, I'm just saying this only because I'm only speaking what I saw as I was growing up. There were times where I would go over to my uncle's house, and he would be in the garage, and he would be in his own little world singing and praising God in the garage. Now the garage, you can say, well, that's his garage, but to him, that was church. That was worship service for him. And see, there's things that he didn't know that I did, but I would stand by the garage door and I would listen in on him singing and praising God. As a child, I would put my ear up to the door and he would be in there just humming away, singing praises to God. And then finally, I got the urge. I just went on in and just kind of interrupted. That's what we do. That's what some people do. People want to praise the Lord. Some people just go and just interrupt. Trying to get their praise on. And here we come. Want to interrupt. Want to quench somebody's spirit. I was a child. What we need to understand. It's a lifestyle. It's a lifestyle. We have to really mean what we are doing. I say to people, say what you mean what you say. With that being said, there is a universal law called cause and effect. It states that for every cause, there is a definite effect. For every effect, there is a definite cause. Every action has a reaction or consequences. In other words, we reap what we sow. Amen. So what we are today is due to what we did yesterday. What we are tomorrow will be due to what we do today. We can change if we do not like what we are today. We must begin sowing today if we want to reap tomorrow. If you are not saved today, you can change that today. It depends on what you sow. If you don't sow anything, don't expect to reap anything. If you sow a bad seed, you're going to get a bad seed, a bad crop. Amen? That's just good preaching and teaching. In other words, our attitude is a result of our action in the past. If the past has taught you anything, it should have taught you that there is a cause and an effect that brings about the situation. For example, whenever there are events that take place, the effect of the event leaves a trail of evidence. Police detectives use the principle of cause and effects when solving a crime. A crime scene is blocked off. Forensic scientists are called in, and when an investigation is underway, there is a restructuring of the event from the evidence displayed. For every cause, there is an effect. It is no different when it comes to our worship. There are many causes to worship the Lord and many effects that result from it. In other words, praise demands more prayer. Prayer demands more prayer. The more you pray, the deeper your desire to pray will become. It is the same with worship. Worship demands more worship. The more we worship, the greater our desire to worship becomes. In other words, just like last Sunday, when I dismissed church, y'all wasn't ready to go, right? I went down there and I shook hands. That's because the more you do something, the more you become, you get involved with it, and you get in love with what you're doing. So in other words, you crave an appetite. In other words, y'all was ready for overtime. Listen to this. Listen to this. I'm trying to condition the ground. Get the ground right. You know, I'm learning from, you know, my two Mississippi brothers, you know, that's doing the garden. You got to get the ground right. If you don't get the ground right, man, you can't plant nothing. So I'm trying to till the ground in this worship place. What? Here's the thing. What you worship demands your attention. When something demands the majority of your attention, it becomes your object of worship. Y'all stay with me. It demands the object of worship. For example, it's easy to get caught up in the media. When I say media, I'm referencing to the internet, TV, movies, music, video games, newspapers, magazines, all of it. That's all media. The media is so dangerous because it is so easy to get consumed in. Almost every commercial on TV, have you noticed, every advertisement on the internet is trying to convince us that we are missing something. And that they are the ones that can fulfill what you're missing. See, what the media is telling our young girls and women, they are bombarding them with how they should look and feel and act. Movies and music and TV shows, they all are horrible influence on us because they tell us how we should live and what's right and what's wrong. Cell phones, all I'm going to say is, if you are not careful, you won't spend a free second with the Lord, because it is a distraction from the Lord. I can literally go on and on about the media and how distracting it is. The key to overcome the media is to be wise in what you watch, read, and play, etc., and in how much time we spend with it. We should always be willing to what? Give it up. Amen? We should all be willing to give it up, because you run the risk of pushing the more important things out of your life because you now have an addiction other than God, who matters the most. In other words, what I'm saying is that we allow things to hijack us from doing what's important. You're giving your best hours, your time, to something else. You're letting your life be hijacked by whoever or whatever randomly decides to come into your life. We allow these things to hijack us. The more we worship, the easier worship becomes. In other words, you're not ready to go home when service is over. Because the more you do something, the more you want it. The more you crave it. I can go over there right now and start playing. In other words, make some noise. Because I won't be playing. Okay? I can go over there right now and make some noise. Now, how can I perfect that? Well, I got to spend some time with the instrument. I got to learn the keys on the keyboard. In order for me to be able to play, that will be soothing to your spirit. Because right now, if I go over there, y'all will say, well, I was with the pastor until he went over there to that keyboard. He should have stayed behind that mic, because Lord knows he didn't anoint him to play that. That's what you really want to say. I just said it for you. So what I'm saying is, what we worship, it becomes easier and natural for us to do it. It was nothing for people in the neighborhood when I was growing up for them to come to the O'Bannon house and get my grandfather's grandchildren. Because they know that all we needed was somebody to just come over and say, let's have a pickup game. We were already for it. We were already geared for it because that was what we did. Right. We played. Right. You understand what I'm saying? So it was easy for us. So in other words, what I'm trying to say is that when somebody says, come and let us go into the house of the Lord, you shouldn't say, well, you know, I got something to do. I got something. I'm not going to see you this Sunday, but I'll see you next Sunday. Oh, that is a lie, because next Sunday come, y'all know they ain't going to show up. But all I'm saying is that when somebody says, come and go with me into the house of the Lord, you ought to be saying, oh, I'm already there. To worship God then becomes the central theme of our lives. Our decisions are affected by our worship. Our schedule is influenced by our worship. In other words, when people come in from out of town, they ought to know you go to church on Sunday. They ought to know you go to church on Wednesday. They ought to know that you attend church, in other words, when they come to your house. So they already should have their dress clothes. And even if they don't, they should go with what they got on. I'm only speaking because that's what I did. I was like, well, I don't have no church going. You going just like that. Oh, let me change. See how deliverance come over us so quick? Deliverance came just like that. Now, all of a sudden, we can find them. Man, I remember hiding my shoes, and my mom said, well, I don't care. You going what you got on. In other words, if you go barefoot, you going barefoot, but you going. I was like, my mom's going to stay here with you while you get some sleep, because I know you just got off from work. I want to make sure you're okay. No, you going to church. Man. It affects us. Worship. When we get Christ inside of us, it affects the way we dress, what we wear. We won't dress like the world anymore. We'll start dressing like we got something. Amen. There's a difference in our appearance, in our walk. I mean, I'm going to the school and to SWCC and, you know, and getting a book. This man did a beeline straight to me. He said, I know you're a child of God. I was like, whoa, man, hold up. Woo. I mean, just come walking up on. I mean, he said, I know you're a child of God. Yes. I mean, I wasn't carrying a Bible with me. Y'all understand what I'm saying? I didn't have a Bible with me. I just walked in, and the presence of the Lord came with me. Why? Because I have a lifestyle of worshiping him. You don't have to go around telling folks that you saved and sanctified and filled with the Holy Ghost, baptized. You don't have to do all that. All you got to do is live the life. It's going to show up. Trust me. If you're an alcoholic, trust me, I'll see you at one of the stores. I mean, it's going to show up. Am I right about it? What you do, it's going to show up. When people want to get a hold of me, they know they can come here and they find me in my Father's house doing my Father's business. So you can never say, hey, man, I couldn't get a hold of you. Oh, but you weren't looking for me then. Because if you were looking for me, people know where they can find us. There's been people that's been looking for us, and they knew that if they show up on the parking lot, they knew sooner or later we were going to pull up. So worship becomes more than something we do on Sunday, but becomes our identity. That God can work in our lives. Yeah. It's your identity. Yeah. The guy walked straight up to me. He said, I know you're a child of God. It was my identity. I can't hide that. All right. Now, this applies to some people, but not all. All right. Praise to God is something that many people leave at church. I ain't want to offend the ones that are praising God. But for those that are not praising God, I got to tell you that for some of us, praising God is something that we leave at church. To them, it's an event that happens only when they come together on Sunday. Or when we get together on Wednesday. Praise should be a part of a believer's lifestyle, along with our daily prayer at work, in the car, at home, in bed, or anywhere. Praise to the Lord brings a refreshing of the Lord's presence, along with his power and anointing. The Bible says, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Like I said last Sunday, praise affects you, it affects the devil, and it affects God. It touches everything and every part of your life. If you are not praising the Lord, then you are worshiping the devil. It's just that simple. People don't like for you to say the devil. People don't like for you to say Satan. Well, I have to recognize what it is. People don't want you to say that. They don't like that. Well, Pat, that was too harsh. You don't say devil. Devil. It is what it is. It's the devil. It's the spirit. See, what you need to understand is that praise sends the enemy running. Listen to this. Have y'all ever had a conversation about the Lord? Just a casual conversation about the Lord. And folks that don't want to hear the Lord, do they stay around? That's what I'm saying. That's what I'm saying. The enemy does not want to hear that. So in other words, Satan will not stay present when there's a conversation going on with the Lord. He is not going to stay in that atmosphere. So what I'm saying is that your praise to God will send the devil running. So don't y'all, let me say this. Now, let me say this. Now, some of y'all are probably going to go to work tomorrow and start talking about the Lord and see where the devils are at. I'm just saying, that's what I can see. I can see it right now. I'm speaking prophetically. People going to start, let's find out where the devils are in here. Let's start talking about the Lord. And see people just start scattering. An atmosphere which is filled with sincere worship and praise to God by humble and repentant heart is disgusting to the devil. He fears the power in the name of Jesus and flees from the environment of praise. He doesn't want to stay here. Not in the environment of praise. Praise is an expression of faith and declaration of victory. It declares that we believe God is with us and is in control of the outcome of all of our circumstances. Praise is a sacrifice, something that we offer to God sacrificially, not just because we feel like it, but because we believe in him and wish to please him. In other words, praise is not like the caboose that just follows what happens. Praise is more like the engine of the train that makes things happen. Your faith isn't complete without praise. You got to praise the Lord. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 4, he said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Paul said it twice. He wanted to make sure that you heard what he was saying. Paul didn't just say it once, but he said it twice. He didn't want anyone thinking that he had made a mistake or that there was an exception to what he said. We are to always rejoice in the Lord. It is a command. Not a suggestion. It is a command. That's why you need to study your Bible and know what is a command. It is a command. Rejoice in the Lord. Always rejoice in the Lord. In other words, there's going to be some days you're going to be feeling bad. Some days you're going to be feeling not your best, feeling low. Things that people are going to say to you. I always try to take off from work on my birthday because I don't want anybody to say anything that's going to make me mad. Not on my birthday. So what I'm saying is, There's going to be some bad days, but the Bible is saying rejoice. Always. And not only that, Paul lived what he preached. When he was beaten and thrown in the deepest dark part of the dungeon, he and Silas broke out in a praise at midnight. They weren't praising God through gritted teeth just to get out of their situation. Some of us say, well, I'm going to praise God, see if that's going to help me get out of this situation. See, you're doing it in the wrong attitude. Lifestyle. Despite of what I am, despite of what I'm going through, I will praise the Lord at all times. And his praise shall continuously be in my mouth. Paul now was praising the Lord in the worst possible moment. Thrown in, see, their prison was like this fancy prison we have now. Their prison was like darkened in a dungeon, and where they used the restroom is where they slept. That's what I'm talking about. That's the prison that they had. That'll make you not want to go back. These prisons are better than some of the homes that's out here. Better than some of the living environments on the streets. It make people want to go to the prison to get fed. I'm just saying. But Paul and Silas, they rejoiced in their situation. They sang praises to the Lord. And see, here's the thing. They didn't do it just for the sake of doing it all. This is what I'm told to do. See, they praised the Lord. When the prison doors opened up and they were set free, nobody left. This is what I mean by praise affects everybody. Listen to this. In Acts chapter 16, because see, some people don't believe until you give a scripture. They just think the preacher just making it sound good. No. This is scripture. This is the word of God. Listen to this. Acts chapter 16 and 27. And the keeper of the prison awakened out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled. But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, "Do thyself no harm, for we are all here." In other words, just like last Sunday, nobody left. Paul was saying here there were people in there that wasn't saved. But because they were singing praises to God, and worshiping him in a bad situation, in a bad moment, other people didn't leave as well. They stayed there and they listened to the word of God. They listened. In other words, they joined in with worship because Paul said, we are all here. Paul knew that nobody left. Your praise that you give, somebody next to you may not be saved. We don't know that. But if you open up your mouth and praise the Lord, despite how you feel, despite what you're going through, despite what somebody said to you, despite what you don't have, despite all the other stuff, somebody next to you ain't saved. They need to hear this. They were actually praising God because they loved him. And they will worship him out of a pure heart. Paul and Silas were praising God despite of their situation. It affected everyone in the prison. Everyone. See, I believe that God inhabits the praise of his people. It is one of God's principles that work when we apply it. Like I said before, put some shout on it. Put some shout on your situation. You going through something? Put some shout on it. God is pleased with you. If God is pleased with your life, put some shout on it. Praise will get our focus where it needs to be. On God. Off of our problem. If we start praising God in the middle of our problems will begin to shrink because our problem don't know how big our God is. We serve a big God, so therefore we can give our problems to the Lord. You won't be focused on your problems anymore. You want to know why? Because you'll be too busy praising the Lord that you're not even thinking about your problem. Have you ever felt some pain before, but you just got so busy and doing what you're doing, you even think that you forgot, hey, wasn't my arm hurting? Didn't I have a headache? My leg was hurting, but it ain't hurting anymore. Y'all need to understand that when you praise and worship the Lord, the things that are ailing you, the things that you are feeling bad about, it begins to go away. Why? Because while you are shouting it out, God is working it out. See, when you worship God, what you are doing is placing Him in the center of your life. When you place the priority of your worship upon God, He dwells where you dwell. He abides where you abide. He lives where you live. When you get in alignment with God, He directs your steps. He orders your decisions. He empowers you in the face of sin. He dwells in the presence of the praise of His people. If you are in line with the Word of God, worship is a creative force energized by the Holy Spirit. Worship is part of the spiritual growth process. If you do not worship, you will not grow in God. It's just that simple. I can't say it no better than that. If you do not praise God, you will never break through from one level to the next level in your walk with Him. God is in the process of changing each of us to be like Him. Without worship, transformation cannot take place. So in other words, what I'm saying is, don't come up here for prayer for God to change your life situation if you cannot praise Him in the pews. Praise is what will take you to the place where God can change things in your life. When you do not praise God, you are stopping progress that He is trying to make in your life. God is trying to do a work in your life. But because you are not worshiping Him and praising Him, you are hindering what He needs to do. Y'all don't believe what I'm saying. Y'all looking at me like I'm crazy. Let me say that again. When you do not praise God, you are stopping progress in your life. It ain't affecting me. It is in your life. Because this is a personal walk too. It's a personal walk. Very personal. So that's why I said the Lord is my shepherd. So in other words, let me say this. Hell can't stop God. Your struggles can't stop God. This world can't stop God. But when you refuse to worship Him by lifting up your hands and opening up your mouth and praising Him, you stop God from working in your life. Praise is your lifeline to the supernatural. Worship is what will bring change into your situation. Y'all understand that? It will bring about a change in your situation. Start worshiping, praising God, and watch things start happening in your life. Things that you didn't think. People who you thought would get the job. Let me tell you something. I said, they were telling me on the job some years ago, they were saying, well, you know, Ronnie, you ought to apply for it. I said, no, I'm not applying for that position. I said, she's going to get it. She's more qualified. Didn't know that God knew that she was leaving, but I didn't know that. I was just looking at the here and now. The here and now was, I'm not going to get that. I'm not qualified. But I was still praising the Lord. See, listen to me. When I tell you to praise God despite of what you see, God is working it out behind the scenes on things that you don't even realize that He's doing. But you're sitting there with an attitude thinking that nobody loves you, thinking that everything is happening to you. Why me? Why not you? It happened to me. What makes you so different that nothing can happen to you? It is just supposed to be about us? No. Let me tell you something. What God did in that situation, God removed her to another position outside of the company.
And then what? That left it wide open for me to just praise God right on into that position. This is what God does. When you praise him despite of. Luke chapter 19, 37, verse 37. When Jesus came near the place where the road goes down the Mount of Olives, the whole crowd of disciples began joyfully to praise God in a loud voice for all the miracles that they had seen. Blessed is the King who comes in the name of the Lord. Peace in heaven and glory in the highest. Some of the Pharisees in the crowd said to Jesus, Teacher, rebuke your disciples. And Jesus said, I tell you, he replied, if they keep quiet, the stones will cry out. In other words, listen to this. As I'm getting ready to kind of wind down, some things have to be said. Y'all know how some things got to be said. Y'all been in that situation before? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Something's got to be said. Someone has to do something, and something needs to be said about it. If somebody come in here with an outfit that ain't right, you got to say something about it. Amen? Y'all know what I'm talking about. Y'all want to, if I ain't going to tell you to raise your hand, but you know who you are. You know, if someone is wearing some clothing item that's inappropriate, someone has to go to them and make a comment. In other words, you're saying something has to be said. I'm building up on a case here in a moment. We are the spokesperson of creation. Now, there were those in the time of Jesus that didn't want him praised. They were the Pharisees who had zero tolerance for acknowledging that Jesus was the Son of God, the one through whom peace would come and whom deserve the highest praise and glory. The spirit of the Pharisees is still present in our culture today. We hear the voices when our culture says, keep your religion to yourself. If you do speak, you don't be loud about it. We hear the spirit of the Pharisees when we want to speak up, confess what has to be said. So often people sit back and say nothing when something really needs to be said. There are so many of us here today who will cry out about many things. Listen to what I'm saying. If someone offended you or hurt you, you will cry out. If somebody took your money in some way, you will cry out. If somebody slammed your car door, you will cry out. If you catch your siblings wearing your outfit, you will cry out. If somebody left a little bit of orange juice in the refrigerator, you will cry out. We will cry out when we don't have money to pay our bills. We will cry out when we feel any form of discrimination. We will cry out about what the preacher does. We will cry out about what the president does. We will cry out about what the politicians are doing. We will cry out about what the sinners are doing. We will cry out because what everybody else is doing. But I want to tell you something. I will cry out. If you mess with my money and you mess with my honey, I will cry out. That's what I would do. But let me say this to you. But there are very few times that we will cry out about the works of Jesus. When we are at Walmart, we need to cry out. We need to tell the greeter, get behind the greeter, and tell the greeter, come see a man who told me all about myself. When you go to the barber shop, there's plenty of things to cry out about. There's plenty of conversation to cry out about. But you need to tell the barber, come see a man who told me about myself. It puzzled me to see why church folks that are commissioned to cry out, when they refuse to cry out to God. Everybody is making some noise. Listen to what I'm saying here. Everybody is making some noise except for the church. The drug dealers is making some noise. The murderers in the street is making some noise. The pimps and the players are making some noise. The crackheads are making some noise. The politicians are making some noise. Everything that you can think of is making some noise. But when you come down to the church, you can't hear anybody making a noise. So what I'm trying to tell you is that we need to make some noise. Somebody don't know the Lord. Somebody don't know what God has done. Somebody don't know how awesome his power is. Somebody don't know how God has been good to them. It's time for the church to come out of the wilderness and stand up for what we know to be right. It's time for us to celebrate the goodness of God. It's time for us to make some noise and let everybody hear us from the mountaintops to the valley low. You know, I hear people say this all the time, that the church is just too old-fashioned. The church is old-fashioned. They say the church don't want to change. The idea behind this statement is not true. The church is not like what you think it is. It is not the saints that are resistant of change. I want you to look at it from a different perspective. The older folks in our church, they remember a different time in church. They remember when the church was an energetic force in the community. They remember the baptism, the communions, the family dedication, and the joyous occasion that has gone by. They remember when it was easy to fill the church. They remember when it was easy to go down to the corner and bring that so-and-so into the church house. They remember the glory of God and the years that was in the past. The seniors in the midst of us want to see this church regain those glory days. It wants to regain the glory days that it once had. It's not that they are opposed to the change of time. They just don't like what they see, the way society is going. So the saints are not old fashioned. We just have a lifestyle. We just have some ways that we do things in decency and in order. In other words, we don't change to the world. The world needs to change to us. We got to learn that we can't draw people as long as we're complaining and criticizing one another. We've got to rejoice. Don't anybody want to be around you nor join the church with you with that attitude? Nobody wants to be around anything like that. Everybody is crying out to what they believe in. We need to cry out to what we believe in. We need to make some noise here at Rhema. We need to make some noise in God's house. We need to let the people know what we stand for, what we want God to do. We can't continue to allow people to make noise and we sit back in silence and we sit back and not say anything. The Lord said if they don't cry out, he said, I got some rocks, some stones that will cry out for me. And I'm going to tell you this, I'm not going to let no stone cry out for me. If things are not going well, just make a joyful noise unto the Lord. God will hear your prayers. God will hear your answer. All you got to do is open up your mouth and just start praising God. It will run the enemy out of your life. It will change the situation wherever you are. It will change the atmosphere. People that didn't like you, now all of a sudden they doing stuff for you. People that didn't want to be around you, now all of a sudden they want to know what you talking about now. They didn't want to listen to you, but now they got an ear to you. We need to make some noise. We need to say something. We need to cry out to the Lord. We need to understand that spirit, the Pharisee spirit, is still present in the world. Want us to be quiet. Oh, no, don't talk about that Jesus stuff. We don't want to hear that Jesus stuff. We don't want to hear Jesus stuff. But let me tell you, that's the spirit of the Pharisees. They didn't want to acknowledge that Jesus is the Son of God. But we who know, we need to make a confession. We need to give a shout out. Y'all know that term? People say I want to give a shout out. Well, I want to give a shout out to my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to thank God for saving my life. I want to thank God for saving my family. We need to give a shout out to the Lord. Amen.